This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So, are you ready for more football? That's going to be the question this weekend with the XFL debut, as we were talking about that on yesterday's show. One of the things that we discussed towards the end of one of our hours yesterday was this study that says there's 40 million of you out there that want more football after the NFL season. But you know what's interesting? It's that these leagues that pop up, they don't have any staying power despite the number of 40 million. And when you look at other surveys of whether or not the NFL should have a 17-game schedule, it's amazing how many of those same 40 million people say no to that. This is a weird way of putting together how much people really want more football and what they want when they talk about wanting more football. Now, I've always been perplexed by the whole expansion of the schedule thing, because we all talk about how it's so sad when the Super Bowl comes and goes, and it's such a long off season in terms of getting game to game. And yeah, it's fun. I guess the combine is neat and the draft is pretty cool and free agency's thing to talk about. But let's be honest, reality is games are a long way away on the schedule. And even if you could just extend the schedule just a little bit, getting a little bit deeper into February, it's amazing people have said no, because I think they have come to the realization what the players have said when it comes to the expansion of the schedule, which is, I don't think it's a good thing for the product overall. So what does it mean that 40 million people want more football? Well, I guess they want what the XFL or what the AAF last year had been provided, except they don't back it up necessarily with dollars. Now, again, I think this XFL starting up this weekend has got a lot of good things going for it. I think they learned from their lessons of 20 years ago. I think they've got a lot of good media partners. I think they've got a good support from within their own organization of good names that are part of this thing to help kind of promote it and make it grow. But we'll see how much of this 40 million people want more football towards the spring is actually true. I hope it is, because I think a new league, a kind of a spring league, if you want to call it that, would be kind of fun. May not be as big as the NFL in the next 50 years, but at least it's something, right?
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good Friday to you, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Good Friday to you, Mr. Culver. Heading to another end of week scenario.
That's right.
No football now. Except XFL.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Have you stopped what you're doing? Like, are you literally changing your weekend schedule to catch St. Louis and the Dallas Renegades?
What's St. Louis's team called?
I don't know. I think the Battle Hawks.
The Battle Hawks.
Okay.
I'm all in for the Battle Hawks.
Right? I mean, like, are you saying, honey, I can't do anything this weekend? I have to watch the Houston Roughnecks take on the Los Angeles.
Well, listen. Anything to get
whatever.
Me out of the honeydew list, sure.
Yeah, right. Nah. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not the same. I mean,
no,
people are
not.
Like, football's not gone. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry, it is. Until you can convince me that this is worth changing your schedule like you do on Sundays during the fall, and, you know, it kind of is. Unless it's good. If it's good and you enjoy it, God bless you. But
well, I mean, but that's the thing, though.
I'm not losing sleep over an 8-team league in its inaugural season where these have disappointed us in the past. I think that's my thing. We want to, if you want to jump in this swimming pool of these leagues, great. But know at the end of the day, you might not even get a championship by the time this puppy rolls around in April.
Well, I think you're wrong. I think they will have one full season.
Oh, I do. I know. I know that. But we didn't have one last year for the last league.
Because their model was all wrong.
Well, what did they do different that the XFL's doing?
They didn't have Vince McMahon's wallet.
Well, they did have money. They had some serious money behind it.
Well, not until they had midway through the season.
But again, no, the money. Here's what I was saying yesterday, which is apropos. What people misconstrue when somebody says they've got money behind it, the money only goes until they see where it's going, and then they pull away. In the leagues I was in, every owner was a millionaire. But millionaires don't just go, take all of it. Just keep taking all of it. I don't care. Just tell me when you want it to stop. Eventually they go, hey, hold on. How much revenue did we bring in on the last game?
They didn't hand over just a debit card to the kids and said, hey, have at it?
Exactly. And I know McMahon's pride is going to probably let this allow to go a little bit longer. I mean, the XFL, the last go around, what did go longer than a season? It did go two seasons.
That's amazing.
The second season was so under the radar because it wasn't on NBC anymore. They kind of pulled the plug on it. I think it bounced around. I think it was on UPN or some other small cable networks. But the money only goes until you start seeing if the product is viable. Once you're six games in, this is what happened in the AAF last year, where the people that were the money people said, no more. No, I'm not going to write any more checks. I mean, that's why I think it was Charlie Ebersol that was running it. He had to bounce around to investor, because the other investors went, no, I'm pulling out. I'm not doing this. Yeah. Nope, I'm done. Like, I'm not writing any more checks. You are playing in front of half empty stadiums. You're not, the TV revenue is, the TV ratings stink. The revenue, there's no revenue coming from here. We don't even have a TV deal. We thought that this was going to be bought up by the NFL. It wasn't bought up by the NFL. You know, I'm sorry, but I'm not pulling any money. But when it launched, it was all, oh no, it's got the backing. It's got enough to last 2 or 3 years. Well, yeah, because there's an initial feeling of, yeah, I'll put money into it. And then you ask for more money and it's not there. Now, Vince is running the whole thing. So Vince could go, I don't have to ask anybody for money. I got it all. I'll fund it all.
And doesn't WWE have its own network?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if worst case scenario, he could probably air games there because it's his own network.
Maybe so. But he also did a very smart thing in that the XFL last go around 20 years ago was part of the WWF/E entertainment umbrella at the time. But he has not done that this time. He has actually separated that from the money from the WWE. This is a separate business entity. So he's not marrying the two. And that's a good business decision on his part. So if there's any issues, it's like he could just shut it down and go, well, you're not getting my wrestling money. Like, my wrestling money isn't attached to this.
Well, not only that, but I think a smarter thing he's doing this with this than the AAFL did is that he didn't attach it to just one company or one television outlet.
That's right.
I mean, he's spreading it over. I mean, it's on ESPN. It's on Fox. Might be on some of the other networks as well. So, I mean, he's hedging his bet here going, you know what, I'm going to give it to all you guys. Have at it. You know,
yeah, and I mean, if you have that with ESPN and Fox, you can get people to talk about the news of the league, who's signed with the league, show highlights of the league, and that's at least a start, right? At least it's a start of building something down the road. You know, if you're live in one of these cities and the local news is kind of, hey, look, we're going to cover a practice or two. We're not going to treat it like the Texans or the Cowboys or whatever, but it's something, and we're going to report on what the team is doing. Just make it feel more legit than anything else. Then that's a good starting point. It's hard to get that kind of coverage when you're launching. It's hard to sustain that coverage after you've started playing some games. But if you get the local media to do it, and if you get national media to do it, at least it's a start in the right direction to give you a little bit of legitimacy. But, you know, listen, if I'm around and it's on, I'm going to tune in because I am curious for the product. And I am curious, this is just a broadcast geek that I am, how it is presented, right? I am interested in how it is on television, how it's treated, how the announcers will be talking about it, how the announcers will be breaking down the players you've never heard of or barely remember from when they were playing in college or maybe had a cup of coffee in the NFL, whatever it may be. That's more of a broadcasting geek side of things than anything, but that's my curiosity.
Well, that, and I love the idea that they came right out of it and says, yeah, there's going to be gambling.
Yeah, you know, no, that's right.
No
good
ifs,
point.
Ands, or buts. It's just, you know what, we're going to tap into this growing market because we've seen sports betting grow, especially in the last 2 years.
Yep.
That's become the more the topic of sports than anything else is, you know, talking about betting, talking about the lines, talking about this, talking about that. You know, where before, still, all the other professional sports seem to shy away from it. They don't want to mention it.
They do. And that was the, remember when Al Michaels and like Brett Musburger would talk about that, but they would have to do it in like, it was like in incognito, in code. Yeah, like Al Michaels would always bring that up, like very important moments of the game. Like there's a, yeah, there's a game where it's kind of a blowout or it's out of hand for the opposing team. But he would always remind you that this field goal coming up is a big deal. And you would kind of get why it was a big deal.
If there was a video on him, he would be swiping his nose a little bit, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Talking. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, if he gets this field goal, they're going to go 3 points, and that another number out there only had him at two.
Right. Yeah. And so now you've got people just openly being able to discuss it, and at least in this league, that'll be at least decent. Now this is fun because if you kind of are a bettor and you throw money, you know, this would be pure. This is almost pure gambling.
Well, that's why I'm curious, like how they're going to approach that. I mean, is there just going to be like a scroll at the bottom,
yeah,
just constantly giving you updates, or are they going to have a, you know, break in live from Vegas? Here's what Sportsbook X is saying, yeah, at this very exact moment.
But like when you bet now, like when you bet college basketball or NFL, you know, you kind of do your homework a little bit. You look at the records, you look at the home trends, you look at the away trends, you look at, you know, what, you know, how much they score, what their defense is like. You try to handicap it as best you can.
Not
some of
me,
us are
Tony,
a little.
I bet with my heart.
But that's exactly how you'll bet the XFL. I don't know if the St. Louis Battlehawks are better than the Dallas Renegades, but Dallas has Bob Stoops, so I'm going to give him the edge, I guess. But that's the part, that's the beauty of the fun, right?
That's right. I mean, that's, and the Houston Roughnecks with June Jones running, I think they run the air raid attack.
I'm sure they do. Why wouldn't they? I think PJ Tucker is their starting quarterback, former Tulane quarterback. And used to work with Matt Rhule. Like, I'm making these quick connections for the XFL players.
Yesterday, our local station here had on the president of the Roughnecks.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not sure who that guy's name is.
Okay.
Man, did he sound younger than us. Just the way he was talking. I mean,
all enthusiastic?
You know, it was as if he had spent most of his days on the beach.
Oh, good.
And I'm just listening to him like, this is a president of a professional sports organization. Shouldn't he... You know, shouldn't he sound a little bit more nerdier? Nah, not this kid.
No, jump right in. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Was he what was his background? Do you know?
I have no idea.
A lot of these guys.
I don't even know his name.
A lot of guys have backgrounds in law, like, because they know they got to deal with contracts and stuff. And they just like sports and they just marry the two worlds to come together. So that's fun. It's fun. It should be fun this weekend. All right. Speaking of fun, the NBA All-Star game is next weekend.
Oh,
in Chicago.
Just real quick. I just had to look it up. I guess his name is Brian Michael Cooper, who previously worked for the law firm.
Boom.
Lewis, Brisbois, Bisgard, and Smith as part of its entertainment, media, and sports practice.
Bam. There you go. So you got to get a guy with law. He's got to have some sort of, you know, contract law kind of context. He's got to know what he's doing in that regard.
Yep.
So, yeah, the first minor league basketball team I worked for, the general manager was 30.
There you go.
And I was like, geez, he's like my age. Like, I was a few years younger at the time, but he was 30, but he was a contract lawyer. And he just hated it. He's like, God, I work 70 hours a week, the same. It's pouring over these documents. He goes, once I had an opportunity to do this, he's like, I jumped on it. He's like, then, you know, of course, when the team folded, he just went right back to the law practice. But he couldn't wait to get out of that office to just at least try something different with his law knowledge. I was like, yeah, good for you. That's great. Yeah, he was a smart young guy. But speaking of fun, the All-Star NBA All-Star weekend is next weekend in Chicago, but they picked the teams. How did Team LeBron and Team Giannis do? We'll tell you next, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM, on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, it's O-Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings. Plus, earn double O-Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O-Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So the annual tradition now of the picking of the all-star team for the all-star game in the NBA
annual
happened
tradition.
Yesterday. Yes, it used to not be a thing, and now it's a thing.
Wait, you mean they never? How were the teams selected before, Tony?
It was Eastern and Western Conference. Yeah,
it's been so long since they've done that.
So Team LeBron. Now this has been analyzed by people who analyze this stuff for a living. Team LeBron did the better job because he's the better general manager. I read one tweet where LeBron picks from his brain, Giannis picked from his heart. I'm like, really? Okay. LeBron took Anthony Davis, who was a teammate. Okay, Anthony Davis is like the second best player in the game outside of LeBron. But then he also got Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, who's dealing with a sprained ankle, and James Harden. Now, my question is, how in the world did those guys end up available in picking teams for Giannis?
That was the first
how
thing
did Giannis
I thought of, too.
Pass on these guys?
Well, I had a question, and forgive me, I can't think of his last name right now, but is Siakam really that good of a player?
That's my question. Like, how did LeBron go, all right, I respect you picking Pascal Siakam, but I'll take Kawhi Leonard, thanks.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I'm sure you like Kemba Walker, and Kemba Walker's a fine player, but I'll take James Harden, thanks. Like how did this accrue that LeBron's got like four of the best players in the NBA, including himself, on his roster? And Luka Doncic, who's injured, if he's going to play, that's probably the five best players in the NBA, or at least five of like seven of the best players with Giannis being on the other team. But this is a great roster for Team LeBron. And I wonder if he was even surprised he was able to if you gave him the roster at the very beginning and said, this is who you're going to get as your starting five. He's like, no, Giannis will take Kawhi before I do. Giannis will take Harden before I do.
Well, do you know what the full order was?
No, so, I just know of the. Just know the team because I didn't watch the whole selection pick.
I'm looking at it here. Team LeBron picked first.
And yeah, took Anthony Davis.
He went Anthony Davis. Makes all the sense in the world.
Right.
Giannis went Joel Embiid, who, Joel by Embiid. The way, has been struggling lately.
Yeah. Sixers have been awful.
He's not. I mean, if you heard Shaq and Charles yesterday, they roasted him fiercely.
Sure.
So, but he took Joel Embiid. Okay.
By the way, Charles Barkley called the Sixers the Cleveland Browns of the NBA.
Yeah, I bet that felt good to say
now,
that about
sure
a former team.
Sure, that was. Wow.
But Joel Embiid's a good pick.
Yeah.
So number three, LeBron, he went Kawhi Leonard.
Probably immediately after that pick was taken.
Yeah, probably that ticket was already filled out.
Right.
He didn't use the full 10 minutes in this draft.
And that's when Giannis took Siakam?
Yes.
Okay, now he likes Siakam. They said he's a good locker room guy, but that's not why you're picking the All-Star game.
You're not going for longevity.
Right.
This isn't an actual team that's going to compete for the NBA championship. Because immediately after Siakam, LeBron went Doncic.
And again,
they probably couldn't wait.
Couldn't wait to do that. Even with the injury, still said, I'm taking the kid. I mean, that kid's, again, one of the top three or four players in the league, right? When he's healthy, he's one of the top three, four players in the league. So then I'm assuming then Giannis took Kemba Walker with the next pick. And that meant LeBron took James Harden.
Sorry about that. What was your question?
Oh, I said, so now I'm assuming, right after LeBron took Doncic that Giannis then went Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker.
Right. And then he ran to the podium again and took James Harden.
Yep. And then Giannis went Trae Young.
And then went Trae Young. Trae Young's a nice pick. Trae Young's a good player. He just plays for a crappy team. The Atlanta Hawks stink. Yeah, so nevertheless, this is, look, it's an all-star game. It's all fun and games. Don't get me wrong. It's maybe over an analyst of an exhibition. But Team LeBron really did great. All right, let's go to Frankenberry. You're online on SB Nation AM. What's up?
Hey, I was, first of all, thanks for doing the Frankenberry bit the other day.
No, no problem, man. It was great of you to bring it up.
So the appeal of these all-star games, I have never really understood. I know football and basketball, you get to go see all your favorite players in one shot, but they're not really doing their game. They're not really trying to play. They're just trying to make sure there's a bunch of points on the board.
Right.
And so I've just never understood all the hype around that. I don't know if you guys got some insight.
It's really a showcase for what you have. It's really not supposed to be competitive or whatnot. It's just supposed to be a celebration of the thing that you call your league, whether it's Pro Bowl, whether it's Major League Baseball's All-Star Game, whether it's the NBA All-Star Game. It's just supposed to be a celebration of the sport. We're at a break. We're going to get together. We're going to celebrate this thing that is us, and then we're going to move on. When Major League Baseball tried to make the All-Star Game competitive by attaching it to the World Series, it still didn't allow the players to enter a competitive mentality. They still treated it as, this is pretty fun, let's have a good time, let's play for a little pride, but in the end, it is what it is. You know, the one thing, though, that when I was growing up, there was a little bit, like in the All-Star Game in baseball, there really was an American League versus National League pride. It didn't exactly extend so far as to make it like diehard competitive, but there was a little bit of that. There doesn't, like, this All-Star game is just a bunch of friends picking teams. I mean, there's not even an East versus West kind of mentality. Charles Barkley had a very good idea. He thinks the All-Star game should be American players versus the world, because the world is giving us some seriously good NBA level talent. But again,
I was gonna say that would be a really good idea.
So, that's a good idea. I like
the NBA. They want to call themselves the world champs, but there's not really a world competition out there, so that's kind of a questionable title.
Yeah,
so
but if Argentina had a team, who would you take? I mean,
Well, yeah. I mean,
but
you'd have to cultivate that for a little bit.
Exactly. But I do think that idea by Barkley is good, because it really would showcase the level of international talent that is out there, that is currently in this game. I mean, when you think about what an international team would look like at the All-Star game, it would be Giannis, it would be Luka Doncic, it would be Pascal Siakam, it would be Ben Simmons from Australia. I mean, there's a whole bunch of international level talent that's out there. I think it's a good idea. I don't know. Nikola Jokic would be, I mean, he's one of the top players in the league. That would be a fantastic addition. I mean, I don't know if it's explorable by the league or if they just kind of like this because it's gimmicky and kind of cool and people seem to attach themselves to this kind of basketball, like when you play a pickup game. But I think Barkley's not far off from a good idea for the All-Star game, because it does do the thing the NBA wants to do, which is really promote the excellence of its international players. So,
all right.
Good. Thanks for the
call,
man.
Thanks for that, you guys.
Appreciate it. Frankenberry cereal is still not good. I don't care what he says. I don't care how he... It's not a good cereal. Blueberry, if you can't go to Count Chocula, Blueberry is the best cereal.
I don't think I've ever had Blueberry or Frankenberry, so I can't give my opinion.
Well, as I said when we did this a few days ago, I come at this with a little bit of, not bias, but sort of a discriminating taste, because I don't like strawberry flavored cereal or ice cream or things like that. I don't mind blueberry. I don't have a problem with blueberry. Strawberry, for some reason, I'm not a fan of. I like strawberries, but it's like cherries. Like, I don't eat the cherry on the top of a sundae. My wife always grabs it whenever we have a sundae.
That's weird.
But I like wild cherry, like Lifesavers. I like cherry Kool-Aid or cherry soda, or like, I like that. But like cherries, like, I won't eat a cherry off a sundae. I don't know. It's not my thing. So I don't know. Barkley does have a very good idea, though. I don't know if the NBA would ever embrace it, but
yeah.
You know, I want to expand on that coming up next, because I think there's something that you can go back to almost 30 years ago that really helped propel what we're going to see at the All-Star game coming up in Chicago next weekend. That's next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, with the NBA rolling along, college basketball getting in swing of things, heading into the March Madness and all of that fun stuff that we like to talk about, get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. You can sign up today, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Start betting college and professional sports. Prop bets are on the table. Who will win the NBA MVP? Who will be the first head coach to get fired? Every spread, every total, every winner, loser. Straight bet parlay tease your way through the season. Get the fastest market odds, updates, and payouts with the new sportsbook partners, BetOnline. You can even do those future bets, like in Major League Baseball, now that, like, if Mookie Betts actually is cleared to go play for Los Angeles, you can bet on the futures and who's going to win the NLCS, who's going to win the ALCS World Series. Head over to the website today. Use your mobile device to join. Use the promo code SBNation55. Receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's 50% welcome bonus if you use that promo code SBNation55. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so I was talking about, with the last caller, we were talking about the All-Star game, and, you know, they always try to mix it up a little bit, do something kind of fun, change up the normal way of doing business. But it is just a celebration of the thing that they all are part of, right? That's all it is. It's like the weekend in Chicago next weekend will be all about basketball. It'll be about the NBA. It'll be a memorial for Kobe. It's like this every year.
No, it's
right?
The NBA season kickoff.
That's right. Because we're going to head into the second half of the season and really get moving.
How many opening days have they had, according to Ron?
I know. Exactly. Well, Christmas. But mid-January. No, All-Star weekend. Don't really get started until the final 2 weeks of March. But that's what the All-Star game is. It's a celebration. But Charles Barkley, in bringing up an idea of saying, look, how about the best North American players or the best American players against the international field, right? And that's, you know, when you think about, again, what I was saying earlier, some of the players that would make up the international team, Giannis, Ben Simmons, Nikola Jokic, Pascal Siakam, I don't want to miss out on anybody, but there's a number of them that you could put out there, Sabonis, a number of players that you could put on an international team.
Giannis would he go international?
Yeah, absolutely. From Greece.
Yeah. So I know that, but I mean,
well, it wouldn't be on the American team.
Can't be on the American team?
Well, if you're from another country, well, would that be the whole point of having an international team?
I guess Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, you could have him. So it's a good idea, but when you really think about it, this was an idea. And again, we've had good international players around, you know, in the past. But when you think about around 28 years ago, when the Dream Team was put together by Team USA, yeah, and going to the Olympics in Barcelona, this was one of the reasons the rest of the world wanted this, even when the United States voted against it and said, look, we don't want to make a mockery of Olympic basketball, but if you vote for this, it will be. And the rest of the world said, yeah, but we really want to grow the game. Like, we really want to sort of get, we'll never catch up to you by producing the level that you do, but we can, if you just incorporate this into the culture, into the sporting culture of our country, we can at least produce a few players that could play on the level. And that's happened. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the whole international field was shut out. We didn't have good international players. Of course we did. You know, of course we did. Kobe used to say Oscar Schmidt of Brazil could have played in the NBA if he had wanted to, but he was kind of trapped in the Brazil, you know, playing for Team Brazil in the Olympics, so he couldn't. Because back then, amateurs couldn't go pro, so he kind of was logged in there. But he thought Oscar Schmidt was one of the best international players, could have definitely played in the NBA. We've had international players before, so my point isn't that this, you know, started from the ground up, but it has led to a real increase of that level of players from the international field being able to come here and not only compete, but be superstars in this league, you know, whether it's Dirk or whoever, you know, who's come, Giannis today. I mean, you're talking about some of the best players in the world have been able to come to the NBA and be really competitive and have really made an impact on this sport. And I think that if Charles Barkley's idea came to fruition, I think it would be a good reminder of how global this game really is, right? I think that would be a really cool aspect to the NBA celebration. Now, again, I think there's part of this Team LeBron, Team Giannis, or, you know, whenever they, whoever is the captains of this picking teams, that's also kind of fun. If you're, it's neat to see these guys pick guys and, you know, whether they want to play with a guy, whether they don't want to play with a guy. You know, we read into, remember last year, LeBron and the Anthony Davis situation that Ernie Johnson was kind of poking at a little bit. Remember, a little tampering here, and so LeBron was like, not in an All-Star game. Those are kind of fun little storylines.
Looking at this list, then, is he trying to make a play for Ben Simmons?
Could be, right?
Because, like, there seems to be some issues with Embiid and Ben Simmons with the Sixers right now.
Sure. All right, so we got some audio of the James Harden selection and the pick.
Yeah, Giannis.
Giannis, okay. Here's Giannis.
Okay, this is a tough one. I'm between Kemba and Trae Young.
Wait, you don't want the dribbler?
I want somebody that's going to pass the ball. That's what I want. So I'm going to go with crossover killer, step back master, Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker.
All right.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yep.
And so if you're,
but, you know, they didn't say who he was debating between, or who Charles had mentioned was, you don't want James Harden, basically.
James Harden, basically, yeah.
His first response is, no, I want someone who will pass the ball.
That's good.
See, that's probably the smartest move he made.
Now, that aspect of this process would be missing if you just went.
Yeah, but you know what? I still think all those guys should be present. They should all be standing in a line.
Yeah.
And, you know, just do it like schoolyard basketball, where you just keep picking. And so what if... who are the last two? The last two were Donovan Mitchell and Domantas Sabonis.
Right.
Who cares if your pride is hurt?
Yeah, see, I was a terrible basketball player as a kid. I was always picked last.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. We'll take Anthony. Gosh.
You would have been Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah. So I like to play basketball. I just wasn't very good at it. I don't know what it was. I definitely had no depth perception. I could, you know, I had the shooting form, but it would just be way off. And I think it was my depth perception. I really couldn't figure out why I would miss wildly. And it wasn't like I threw it up like two-handed or anything like that. Like I had a good like Larry Bird style behind my ear kind of shot. I followed through, but it would be like 3 feet over the basket.
Now, I will say this. One thing that'll be interesting is because LeBron did pick Harden and Westbrook.
Yeah, that's fun.
But he also has Chris Paul.
Oh, that's even better. That I totally forgot about that. Yeah, he's got Chris Paul. That's great.
Yeah.
Come on now. How fun is this?
Got to make sure all three are on the court at the same time, right?
Yeah. Remember a couple of years ago when Westbrook and Durant were on the same team?
Yes.
Remember that? They were like, what, is he going to even give the ball to Durant? You know, these are the kind of the all-star aspects that are fun, that are kind of neat. So I still like the international versus USA kind of game. That'd be neat.
But you know, this
is
more. That,
yeah,
though,
this is interesting.
That's what the MLS does.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah.
In the All-Star game?
Yeah, their All-Star game. A lot of times they've done it.
No, the All-Star game is still American League versus National League. You're talking about the World Baseball Classic?
No, I'm talking about soccer, MLS.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant MLB because we talk about real sports on this. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's a bird.
I know. I shouldn't
that's
pick
right.
on the MLS.
Nobody who watches the MLS is listening right now.
what's wrong with that?
What do you mean, what's wrong with that?
Like, what's wrong with that?
No, I'm saying that's what they do.
So?
Would NBA stoop to themselves and say, oh, no, we're better than the MLS?
Oh, no, I don't think that would even cross their mind.
Compare themselves with that. And, you know, looking over this list, I mean, maybe I just don't know. I don't see a full roster of international players.
No, there isn't. That was the one aspect of the problem with it was if you were trying to put a full 11, 12-man team together, you would have to dip into the pool a little deeper on the roster, right? Whereas the American side doesn't have to do that. That the American side doesn't have to go, okay, he's not really an all-star, but we need to fill out a roster. And you would have to do that on the international side. There's probably 8, maybe 9 really good international players. 10 and 11 might be borderline all-star picks.
But it's a good idea for, say, maybe
a good idea.
10 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea. The other thing, too, though, is... I think the NBA likes this format because that's how a lot of people play basketball. right? They play basketball at the Y, or they play basketball out on the schoolyard. They play basketball wherever. And this is how they do it when it comes to, you know, pickup games, right? Picking teams. I'll take him. I'll take him. I'll take him. It's kind of in really entrenched into basketball. So they like that element that's kind of thrown into the All-Star game. Like, you guys do this when you get five or, you know, six or seven, eight of you guys together, they're going to do they're doing the exact same thing for All-Star weekend. But, you know, I know that there's an old school aspect of Western Conference versus Eastern Conference, but to me, I don't, there's no need to do that if there isn't built in pride in the conference you play for. Like, nobody, like, if you're playing from Milwaukee, do you go, well, I'm an Eastern Conference guy?
Right.
Like, yeah, nobody feels that way.
The only reason why that makes sense to do East versus West is if you have home court advantage on the line.
Yeah, sure.
Because that went over like gangbusters.
Yeah, I know. Major League Baseball really desperately tried to do it. But the problem with doing that is most of the players knew they weren't going to the World Series anyway.
Right.
So they were like, ugh. But you know what? You and this might be, again, for those of you who are young, you don't remember a time in Major League Baseball where the National League and the American League, that was a philosophical difference. That was a pride. If you were a National League guy or American League guy, that was a big deal because the two leagues were playing different styles of baseball. You'd have legitimate conversations about pitchers hitting and the using the double switch and, you know, playing, small baseball, like using bunting and all instead of a power game. Like, there was a legitimate debate as to which league played a better brand of baseball, which was a more pure brand of baseball, which was, you know, like, that was a legitimate conversation. And while it does still exist in the sense of the American League still uses the DH and the NL hasn't used the DH, interleague play has dulled that line. Like, interleague play has dulled it. And the other aspect to that, all the Major League Baseball All-Star game was, especially like when I was a kid growing up in the 80s, I collected baseball cards. I only got to see Mike Schmidt like on two occasions, the All-Star game and maybe if he was on Game of the Week or Monday Night Baseball. That was it. Like, it was the only time I could see Mike Schmidt. He wasn't coming on my TV when the Red Sox were playing, and that was it. You know, if I wanted to go see Dave Parker, if I wanted to go see Johnny Bench, if I wanted to go see Steve Garvey, if I wanted to see any of the guys that were on my baseball cards from the National League, I had to watch them on TV at the All-Star game. And that was it. That was the only chance I could see them play or, you know, a nationally televised baseball game. But now, you know, these teams will play eventually they'll come around to you. Eventually you can watch them on TV. It's the media expansion has been big. So you can watch these games. There's a lot more baseball can access. But back when I was a kid, that was the only chance I could see the NL teams actually do anything. Any NL players do anything was the All-Star game. And now that's not the case. All right. Again, on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's or 800-224-2004. Continuing along on a Friday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along on Friday as we get ready for the XFL opening season. Yeah. By the way, the Academy Awards are this weekend.
What?
Yeah, the Oscars. So we're going to actually talk about that at some point, because I don't know who's going to win Best Picture, but I'm kind of interested if I could bet on that. I think I can. Can I?
Can I
bet on who's going to win like best actor?
I'm certain you can.
I think you can.
There's a way to do that.
Nobody is supposed to know this in advance, right? Except the people running this thing.
Except for Price Waterhouse or
Price
whatever.
Waterhouse. Yeah. Yeah. So,
and their crack team of accountants.
Yeah. You know, remember when Midnight won? Remember they thought another movie had won and then Midnight was...
Yeah,
they
La got the La wrong. Land.
Yeah, La La Land.
No, it wasn't La La Land.
Yeah, wasn't La La Land was brought up and then they brought up the envelope and said, well, we made a mistake. It's actually Moonlight.
Yeah.
I think it was a couple of years ago.
Right. Yeah, I think it was. I think that's
Moonlight
it was.
Actually won it, but they made a mistake with the envelope, right?
Yep. And everyone puts that on Warren Beatty.
Yeah, Warren Beatty, right?
But it was
what are you gonna do?
Annette Benning. No, it wasn't Annette Benning. Who was
Oh, it was the
Faye
other
Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway, yeah.
Faye Dunaway said the name, and then she peaced out so quickly. Like, she ran off the stage.
It's like,
Warren Beatty's just kind of sitting there holding the thing, and he has this look in his face like, what did you do?
At first, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like when somebody wins an award and goes, no, 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 we don't deserve this. They actually had a better, you know, they actually were better. Kind of like you see at the Grammys, like where somebody goes, oh, I didn't have the best album of the year. So-and-so did. This is, you know, like they just kind of that humble, like, I didn't know.
Are we appreciative of when an actor goes up there and is like, you know what? I appreciate being in this category because all four of these guys were my heroes.
Do we appreciate that?
Yeah.
But it seems like a trite thing. It seems like,
I want someone to just be honest and be like, damn right I was the best actor.
Of course
actor.
I was. Yeah, like if Joaquin Phoenix wins for Joker, he should be like, yes, I was the best actor. Did you not see the movie I was in? Oh my God, I played a lunatic and I did it brilliantly. Thank you for this. But you know what? I was counting on this when I walked in tonight.
If he doesn't win, is that saying something about him?
Like, I want to see...
You're playing too much like yourself.
I want to see a guy, when they don't win, go, all right, whatever, and walk out. Like, I came here for this. I'm not getting a trophy. Goodbye.
Or just scream something inaudibly off camera.
Yeah. It's very true as they're walking out of the theater. Bye. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for wasting my time. Good luck, Academy.